Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, September the 11th, 255th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is the Humboldt County Convention Visitors Bureau Executive Director, Tony Smithers.
Hello, Brian.
Feeling better this month?
I am doing well, thank you.
Good. You're trending positively. Good. If you know, you know, and that's good. And if you don't know, it's good anyway. So either way. This afternoon, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about visiting Humboldt. Marketing plan for Humboldt County. A little bit interesting. And I think for a lot of folks locally, we don't get exposed to it, but we might still be subject to the message.
Indeed, it resonates.
So we'll talk about local, we'll talk about out of the area marketing when we come back.
I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Biette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon. KINS News and Information Times 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Thomas Paine. Yes, that Thomas Paine.
Give me a quote or...
Yes, or leave me alone. Okay, we'll go with the quote option. Character is much easier kept than recovered. Huh? Tom was a man of little words.
But they were good words.
Good words, yes. We've talked, Tony, for years, decades about marketing or trying to market and some of the challenges of doing so of Humboldt County. We probably saw it since last we got together. We ran out to Nebraska and came back vehicle. And it was interesting for me, the things that we were looking for and the things that we were frustrated about and the things that were fun discoveries. Now, granted, this was pretty much entirely on I-80, so there wasn't a lot of what exit do we take kinds of things. The brown signs? You know, historical this or something
natural
like that.
This, yeah.
Well, the nature, you know, again, in the high desert, there's not a lot of, you know, when you say nature, ooh, okay, there's the mountain, and you can see that thing for, 30, 40 minutes as you're driving by. Elbows locked. The historical stuff was really cool. We were just outside of Elko, and they had the Oregon or the California Trail. And it was just, I mean, you could see where the wagon ruts were. And they had the Donner Party, and they talked about that and moving through the Great Salt Lake and some of those challenges. But the historical element, it wasn't really a cultural, because there wasn't too much associated with it other than just, here's the facts, here's what they were. And I thought in our area, we've got a ton of history. Really, I mean, you got the Indians, you got the white guys, you got the current stuff, you got the lumber, you got all these various things. Is history marketing, I guess would be what it is, as a subset of tourist marketing, is it something that ever pays off? Or is it something that people get excited about? Or is that one of the areas that really isn't trendy right now?
Well, it's actually not quite as trendy as it was maybe a couple years ago, but it's still, we talk about the heritage traveler, and there's actually an association of national heritage destinations who, you know, focus on that particular market, and there are some really, really keen elements to that customer. I mean, the heritage traveler is educated, they stay longer, they spend more, they delve into your story. So they really are the kind of people that are good to attract.
Rather than like a hit and run?
Right.
Stop off, take a picture, go?
Exactly.
Kind of thing. Well, we were somewhere in between. So that is an identified tourist market then.
And it's not a small one either. I mean, in surveys of visitor intent, they call it, I think something like 30-40% of people say that they will look at a heritage destination or a heritage attraction within a destination on any given trip.
So people are looking for more than just the one area they're looking for some additional information.
So, you know,
or experience.
In addition to, you know, natural recreation or living culture and arts and entertainment or shopping or dining, those are the main big categories of a destination asset. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see how those would be larger. But it was interesting. And one of the things that we kind of were intrigued by had been relocated. I wish I could remember the town. It was a small little, I think it was Wyoming, but they had relocated one of the Pony Express cabins, I guess, lodges, whatever you want to call it, 100 miles so that it was back on 80, which was the old, you know, the trail. And had rebuilt, and this was like 50, 60 years ago, so it wasn't anything that was recent. But they had some of the stories and the feel about it, but it was in a community park. Not a big whoop-de-whoop, but it was there. If you were interested, that's great. If not, mm-hmm. you know, there were kids throwing Frisbees right next to it. You know, it wasn't really a set-off kind of a thing. Is that something that's typical also? You don't have a specific park use for a item, but it's more of a multi-use kind of a facility?
Well, think of Fort Humboldt, which has steam donkeys and some locomotives and things parked in a you know, picnic area. Same thing down in Scotia. And, you know, we have quite a bit of that ourselves in Humboldt County.
Okay. They're just not as easy to find with the signage?
Generally, the thing that stops us and a lot of other places from being known as a heritage destination is the fragmentation. There's so many little pieces that are all over the place. That's why about 10 years ago, we at the Bureau did a great Forest Service project. We published a guide called Redwood Coast Heritage Trails. And it took five different themes and then, you know, sort of wrote a little story about each of these sites within the theme so people could actually follow, whether it's Native American or architecture, et cetera.
Whatever their passion was.
Whatever their passion was, yeah.
Are those documents, is that information still available?
It surely is. We actually still have printed copies of it, or you can go on to our website, redwoods.info, and you can find an online digital version of it as well.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight, Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers. Tony, as you look to try to find, rather than establish, a consistent message for what Humboldt County is, I know we've talked in the past about trees.
Okay. We got those.
Yeah. how do you put in the value added of not only do we have it feature, but here's why you should like it, benefit,
mm-hmm.
and have it something that really is universal for all elements on all aspects of the county. Can there be one?
Well, we actually have developed a branding position that very similar to what you're suggesting. Some of us in marketing committee call it Redwoods Plus, and the concept is that the Redwoods are this constant background here. They're the kind of the lost leader. It's the reason why you come here. But in this incredible setting are also incredible food and wine and craft beer.
Pluses.
Arts, history, like you just said. Recreation, other things. So
is Redwood a feature or a benefit? I'd argue it was a feature.
It's a benefit if you say that whatever you like to do or see, it's better in the Redwoods.
Okay. Personalizing, the fact that there's a tree growing in the ground, okay, fine.
Yes.
What's in it for me? Yeah.
well, like all, we're selling an intangible. We're always trying to sell an expectation of some sort of transcending experience. We think we deliver it because the redwoods are unique in the world. But the real trick is to sort of take that quality and give it to our other destination assets.
That's what I would have argued. Yeah, that's nice. Redwood, check it off the list. I've seen a redwood tree. What gets me back the second time?
Or the third time? That great little event you stumbled onto, that fantastic restaurant, that place where there's the crazy spider above the door and they have all this great beer, you know?
Can you do Humboldt County Redwoods in a weekend?
Absolutely not. No.
Okay, so for the weekend touristry, the Bay Area, the folks that are either getting away from the heat, we still have heat inland, right?
Yes, we have heat refugees.
Heat, or the guy or gal who's coming up to do fishing, or one of the runs, or the bike races, or that kind of stuff. What gets them to come back a second time?
Well, number one is the invitation to come back. So it goes to customer service and to one-on-one marketing, so that all of our suppliers, hotels, you know, tour guides, whoever, know who their customer is, remember who their customer is. And, well, the classic example is Harry and David's, where you order something and then 11 months later you get a communication from them saying, well, hell, last year you sent a lovely box of apples to your Aunt Martha. Do you want to do that again?
Right, yeah, the follow-up stuff. Yeah, Nordstrom's does that. I know there are a number of local oil change outfits that do that also.
Sure.
But that sounds to me like it's basic business practice.
All marketing is basic business.
Across the board, retailer, lodging, food, whatever it might happen to be, should be asking for business. Do you sense that the business community within Humboldt County, are we ready for business? Do we know how to deal with and to treat a customer to the point where they want to come back? Whether it's come back to buy groceries, come back to buy clothing, come back on a vacation.
Well, the answer to that has got to be yes and no. There's a spectrum of those who are business ready. Certainly, you know, I'm familiar with the lodging industry more than any other, and we've got some incredibly high end properties who have concierge service down to a T. They know how to treat that customer and make them feel great. And then we also have some people who are just phoning it in. So,
well, that's right. For the vast majority of any of the market segments that don't get that concierge service in whatever the industry is, why should they come back?
That is, you know, unless there's a great value proposition that brings them back. And most people do focus on that rather than on other elements of the buying experience. And frankly, for a lot of people, price is not everything. Yet we're always discount this and discount that.
It's part of the equation.
Part of it, but not all of it.
And one of the things I think that's really intriguing is when you say that, particularly in economically tough times, there's a tendency to focus everything on the price. It's the experience. As an equation with the price being a level of expectation.
Right. So the matrix of experience and price equals value.
And if the value is there, then, and the value includes these assets.
Yes.
And the experiences and the benefits and all those different things. Do you have a willing audience when you're talking to retailers, when you're talking to the travel industry, when you're talking to the lodging, to the restaurant folks? This stuff all counts, people?
They get it, but they struggle with it nonetheless because they have the daily grind of opening and running a business every day, and sometimes you can lose sight of that longer term stuff. But I must say that since social media has come along with Yelp and TripAdvisor, it's a lot more in everyone's minds.
It's 3:30.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:36. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers from the Humboldt County Convention and Visitors Bureau. Tony, as you're putting together marketing plans and goals and things of that nature, I would think it's probably as fluid as any document could possibly be.
It's a moving target for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, well, you know, this in 2 months we're going to have the Consumer Electronics Show. Here comes the newest, greatest, greatest, whiz, bang, boom, bam, and everybody has to have... Okay, well, if it's not allowed for in the budget or in the marketing plan, now do you hamstring yourself? Or do you say, okay, we're not going to be on the bleeding edge. We're going to be an early adapter, but we're not going to be out there on the cutting edge. Let it percolate for a year or so. Let's see how it's accepted by the marketplace, and then we'll do something to embrace it. How do you figure out how soon to get into something, how detailed to get into something, how much of your time, energy, and resources you want to spend in getting something ready that may or may not be something that really is a high priority?
That's a good question. I mean, there's a lot of focus now on the need to have apps, for instance, mobile apps. And you can make a case for them being a good idea in Humboldt County because there's a lot of places where there's not good cell phone coverage. If we had good cell phone coverage everywhere, then we would just have a mobile website that would answer everyone's questions. But then there are some pundits to saying that as coverage increases and gets better all the time, and there's other technologies that come into place like WiMAX and whatever that can boost signal to out-of-the-way areas, that apps are going to become obsolete. So the App Store now, which has hundreds of thousands of titles, and it might just become a dinosaur because, you know, they are, you know, one-off things. You have to
Snippets is kind of how I've always interpreted it.
Right.
A sample.
Right. Whereas a website, you know, is, you know, it's database driven, it's updated all the time, it's dynamic content. You don't have to worry about that kind of issue.
But it's really tough to read on a 2-inch screen.
Not if you design it for a 2-inch screen.
Well, okay. Then does it have enough stuff for a 20-inch screen?
Well, as a matter of fact, the coming thing is, like right now we have a desktop website, you might call it, which is great for your monitor at work where you're making your travel plans. Also works well on tablet devices.
That's what Aaron's doing.
Yeah. But also we're launching a mobile website because for all the iPhone and Android products out there, you know, that big site just doesn't work. So it's kind of a skimmed down version, a trimmed down version.
Two unique products?
They're both driven by the same database. We just tell the database, the operating system tells the database to do different things depending on what browser you're using. If you're using Safari, then you're on an iPhone and it's going to do different things.
So it's a different experience if you've got yours and you're on a non-iPhone and I'm on the iPhone? We see different?
Well, there will be some slight differences depending on what your browser does. But they'll be fairly similar. But they will be very different from the desktop website. It'll be, as I say, quite stripped down.
Still usable?
Very much so. Very much so.
So how do you determine what doesn't make the cut for the small screen that is viable to be on the full website?
On the full website, people want to know the deep story. You know, so when a record page, and that's any page with a listing, whether it's a business or a hiking trail or whatever, You have a full narrative of what's available. It can tell a story, and it can go on forever. It has lots of different photos. It has links to social media and to different kinds of multimedia, video or whatever. For the website, we are going to have a much smaller little narrative and fewer choices as to where to link to. I mean, yeah, link to the hotel's website and their phone number. Do you need to link to the hotel's Facebook page from that site? Probably not.
Or to the chain?
Yeah. So it's definitely the mobile user needs a stripped down version of a web page so they don't get cluttered in detail.
So is this a full employment act for the digital department at the Visitors Bureau, or can you kind of take and highlight the areas that you want to have included and not go into the excruciating detail?
Once we get it set up, it runs itself. But we do have, so there's the design and the technology side of writing the code and making a mobile website. And we've got great people that we're working with, local people we've worked for years. But then we have to go, the staff does have to do a little database grooming, you might want to call it. And in fact, we've added a little button in every database record to say, include this in the mobile site, because there's lots of records which will just clutter up a search. We don't want everything to be found. So that's all about streamlining and making a very usable experience for the user.
So how do you know if you've hit the target?
Well, we will get... It's interesting. The data on the number of people using mobile devices for doing their travel search and for doing their room booking is growing steadily. It's something like 40% now.
40% of the total market, 40% of the electronic do-it-yourself?
40% of our online market are people using mobile devices. And right now, they're struggling with our full site on their mobile device. In a month or two when we launch this other site, then they're going to have a very usable product, which includes our booking engine, too. So they will be able to book right online from there. So
when they book a lodging, do they go to one of the discount guys? Do they go to the branded website? Do they go directly to that hotel and talk to somebody? What happens?
We've been around that fence quite a few times too. What we don't want is to hand money to a third party vendor like Travelocity or Expedia or someone like that, who have a great booking interface, sure, and they can even have a sort of an online, a live tally of what rooms are available, what the prices are, etc. Well, we've got something which is almost as good, which is we have a booking engine which gives a blurb about the property, and it tells you where the rates start from, and then it says if you want to book or check room availability, click here. So instead of taking you to Travelocity and 30% commission, it takes you to the Humble Bays Inn very own booking page on their website. So,
but if I go to Travelocity, I get the room at a discounted figure often than what happens when I call in. I get a rack rate.
Mm-hmm.
So for the consumer, isn't the Travelocity a better deal?
I don't know that the rate that they are promoting online is any better than what you can get when you call in. There's the property's got 25% to 30% of wiggle room that they would have paid to Travelocity. So,
well, yeah, as long as that's shared. Not to say this one property is different than the others, but if that's shared, that's great. If it's not,
well,
then the customer feels like they're getting hammered.
The customer will ultimately decide, when and how to do their purchase. What we hope to do is to give them a better experience and give more value to our local lodging industry and keep more of those dollars in the county.
KINS, News and Information, Times 344. We'll be back with more from Tony Smithers.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy, Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information, Times 348. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers. Tony, as you look at trying to attract visitors with the various forms, whatever they might happen to be, does the message change? And if it does the receiver, the end consumer, do they get the changed message? If I responded 20 years ago and came to town, why am I going to come back to town?
Hmm. The message does change. It changes by medium. We did a radio spot this early summer in the Bay Area. It was a one-minute radio, and you can tell quite a story in 1 minute. So we really pushed the experience of being in the Redwoods and trying to make it emotional, spiritual even, versus a 3-inch color ad in Sunset Magazine, which has little chance of getting anyone's attention, but it better be eye-catching.
So you build the attention-getting devices into the message. When it hits, how do you know that you're delivering on the promise?
Customer satisfaction. Promise less, deliver more. Well, when it comes to the Redwoods, I don't have to worry about that, because they exceed expectations every time, provided the customer has learned or has been told how to experience. Like if you never get off the freeway and drive the Avenue of the Giants, you won't know it's there.
Or if it's rainy or if it's dark.
If you never stop your car at one of those inviting little trailheads and just walk 50 feet down the path, you'll never get that experience either. So there is a level of customer expectation, education that needs to happen.
Well, and participation too.
And participation. But, that's true of many kinds of products and services and markets. A lot of times, the customer needs to be told why they should love you again and again.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
I still don't love you. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Someone you love. See you tomorrow.